Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation that is still trying to read the tea leaves and figure out what exactly happened in that huge election. It seems to have had the second highest level of turnout of any midterm election that we've ever had. And meanwhile, it's generally perceived that the Democrats did better than expected, but they lost the House of Representatives. What were the real messages? What does it mean for 2024? Those are questions that were asked and in part answered by Molly Ball, who is a national political correspondent with Time magazine. There's a cover story in Time, how Democrats defied history in the midterms, and what it means for 2024. Molly Ball, great to speak to you again.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, what a pleasure. First of all, we also need to talk about what the special counsel means for 2024. Right now, the main impact, the main message, if you were to look at, and you acknowledge in your article that this is a complicated election with messages in all sorts of different directions, what is the clearest, most significant message that you believe the voters were actually attempting to send?
Well, you know, I described it in my piece as a repudiation of both parties, and I really stand by that. I think it would be wrong for Democrats to take away from this, oh, gee, we did better than expected. That must mean the American people love us and want us to continue exactly what we're doing. And similarly, you know, Republicans, I think, are taking the lesson away that, like, gee, we didn't do as well as we hoped and expected. Maybe that means that we have some soul searching to do as well. So, you know, I think having traveled the country all year covering these various races and candidates and talking to voters, it certainly isn't the case that Democrats did surprisingly well because people are thrilled with them. Quite the opposite. You know, the president is very unpopular for good reason. People do not feel like the country is headed in the right direction. They simply, in a lot of cases, in a lot of specific races, looked at what the Republicans were offering and thought it was even worse. So, you know, in some ways it was a status quo election, and I think right now you do not have a political party standing for the status quo, standing for sort of stability and normalcy, but not radical change in either direction. And there are a lot of voters who feel like, you know, they elected this president in particular to just not rock the boat too much, and they'd like things to just slow down.
Yeah, there's a piece that appeared today in the Wall Street Journal, and actually originally in City Journal, by Jeffrey Anderson of the Manhattan Institute, and he basically quotes one of the aspects of the midterms is that about a third of all voters said that they cast their House vote to oppose Joe Biden, and almost the same number, 28%, said they cast their votes to oppose Donald Trump, who's not even in office. So is it really the negativity toward both of these elderly gentlemen, if I may say so, is one of the things that left the election not entirely decisive?
I think so. I think that's right. And you're right to point out that it is tremendously unusual to have a former president exert such a gravitational pull on an election where not only is he not on the ballot because it's a midterm year, no president's on the ballot, but he's not even in office, and he's been out of office, although he might contest this description since he has never accepted that he lost the election, but he hasn't been in office for 2 years now, but he has obviously continued to play a very large role, and intentionally so, right? He's taken on a role as the leader of the Republican Party, and was very active in helping, Republican voters decide who their nominees should be in a lot of these high profile races, enforcing party discipline, enforcing an ideology on a lot of these candidates. And that seems to have been what a lot of voters, as you say, found unpalatable about, various Republican candidates was, their loyalty to Trump or their loyalty to, the beliefs that Trump, demanded they speak for. It's very strange, clearly the voters noticed that was happening.
What about the idea that the special counsel is actually Mr. Smith is actually going to be a benefit to President Trump? I know because I've talked to them about it. A number of very big, deep Trump loyalists think this is just what the doctor ordered. It's going to be Robert Mueller all over again, and it's going to strengthen Trump and give him a lock on the nomination. To which you, Molly Bull, say?
Well, I don't make predictions, and I don't have any idea, you know, what this special counsel is going to do or what effect it's going to have. Of course, it has always been the case that, first of all, that absolutely anything that happens to anyone anywhere, Trump perceives as being good for him in some way. So any development, I think, would have been characterized in that way, just because that's how he and his loyalists see the world. I'm old-fashioned. I come from, you know, the school of old-fashioned politics where generally when you're a political candidate being investigated, being indicted, being accused of crimes, being, you know, potentially the subject of a special counsel is generally not a good thing, rule of thumb in politics. But we've seen Trump defy gravity in various ways, so you never know. But, you know, we're not far enough down this road to have any idea yet what the result of it is going to be. So I think it would be premature to speculate on what sort of political effect it might have.
There's a piece today as by Yuval Levin of American Enterprise Institute, which is about, well, the Democrats lost too, and talking about some of the disappointments for Democrats and the fact that, as you were saying, this really was a repudiation of both major parties. If the Democrats wanted to set themselves up for victory in 2024, do you share what is a growing consensus in the party that they would be stronger with a younger, newer, fresher candidate than James Robinette Biden?
Well, look, I'm not in the business of giving anyone political advice, and I'm not interested in whether or not Democrats win elections. But you know, one of the questions that was asked in that exit poll was whether people wanted President Biden to run for re-election, and by a pretty resounding majority, I believe about two-thirds, they said that he should not run. And this is something that polls have consistently found, even among Democrats. So even, you know, the base of the Democratic Party, the segment of the electorate that is most favorably disposed toward Joe Biden, even they would prefer that he not run again. So this is going to be a real question for the president and for the party going forward, is whether and how he decides to run for re-election or not, given that this dynamic exists. Given that, you know, as good as he may be feeling about the midterms, they weren't exactly a vote of confidence in his continued leadership.
Okay, Dev, last quick question. Rising stars. Most people think, obviously, Ron DeSantis doing as well as he did is a rising star from this election. Other names that come to mind on both sides?
Yeah, DeSantis clearly the big winner for the Republicans. Another, I would say, Republican who sort of defied gravity in that way was Brian Kemp in Georgia, who I spent some time with before the election, who also memorably got crosswise with Trump and lived to tell the tale. On the Democratic side, a lot of Democrats were pointing to sort of similar victories on their side, candidates who sort of took what seemed like a purple state and turned it bright blue. Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan seems to have had some pretty robust coattails for Democrats in that state. Jared Polis in Colorado. And here close to home where I live in the Mid-Atlantic, Wes Moore, the new governor of Maryland, first black governor of Maryland, is someone that a lot of Democrats are looking at as well.
All fascinating, and a great piece of the cover of Time magazine, Molly Ball with Time magazine. So what about those rising stars? When rising stars collide, we'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your cultural crusader.
What the hell? What is this?
This is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved show. More fallout and feedback from the leadership meeting of the Republican Jewish Coalition that took place over the weekend with virtually all of the names that you've heard mentioned as prospective presidential candidates. Okay, maybe not Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, but they had 11 people up there speaking at the group, and many of them very well received. President Trump spoke by Zoom, and he was on a screen. And again, it was the more subdued, easygoing Trump, if you could call it that. The word that I found was sedate, which is the way I think he came across during his announcement of candidacy for Mar-a-Lago. And it was the same sort of approach to the Republican-Jewish coalition. And, of course, there's no way that anyone can have as effective a speech when you're doing it electronically and from a great distance. He was down in Florida, as the people who were there in public. It's quite fascinating to watch the differences among the candidates, and Ron DeSantis in particular. He is, I think, buoyed, as who wouldn't be, by a tremendous victory in Florida, and he is not a natural politician. He's not one of those people persons. Bill Clinton is a phenomenal natural politician. George W. Bush is not bad. And Bill Clinton, one of the things about Bill Clinton is he has extremely piercing blue eyes. And he, when you're talking to him, you feel like, okay, he's really listening, you're the only one in the room, and he has that good one-on-one skills. And I had, what I had heard about Ron DeSantis was, well, that's not him. He's more of a cold fish. But if you take a look at him with this group that was so affectionate to him, he's reaching down, he's jumping into the crowd. He was treated like a rock star. He did very well. And so did Mike Pence. On Friday, they write in the New York Times, Mr. Pence delivered an energetic and well-received speech that ticked through the accomplishments of what he called the Trump-Pence administration. Mentioning Mr. Trump's name only once in that hyphenated context. But he drew precious few distinctions with the president he served, going out of his way to praise Mr. Trump for moving the American embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. For instance, he said, all the credit goes to the man who made the decision, Mr. Pence said. And after he sat down, Morton Klein, who's a very well-known Jewish community leader, he's president of the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, which is a pro-Israel group. He said, I think Mike Pence just delivered one of the greatest pro-Trump speeches I've ever heard. And he said, I thought he would be a little bit more inclined to differentiate himself. But this is the problem for Mike Pence, is that he can't disentangle himself because he was such a loyal vice president, which most people consider to be admirable. That's his job. Regardless of what the president is doing, it's the vice president's job to back him up. It's why Biden got a reputation, which helped to make him president, of being a very loyal vice president to Barack Obama. But on his own, Mike Pence is going to be having to somehow balance that contradiction between serving a president who was twice the Republican nominee, and now opposing that president who wants the nomination again. He also is going to be facing all kinds of tough questioning, of course, as he did on Meet the Press. Chuck Todd was asking Mike Pence whether he supports government-mandated pregnancies. Listen, this is clip 11.
You're a limited government guy. I know this, and you really are. Are you comfortable with the idea of essentially government-mandated pregnancy? Somebody doesn't want this child, doesn't want this pregnancy to go through. You're now advocating a law that essentially the government is ordering you to go through with this pregnancy.
Our founding documents say we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And the first one mentions is life. And I think government exists to protect life, particularly defenseless life. And I intend to be a part of this. But I think we have an opportunity, Chuck, to approach this debate in a new and in renewed way. You know, when the Supreme Court took this issue away from the American people 49 years ago, there were strong dividing lines that have endured now for two generations. But now we have a political debate. And we have the opportunity not just to craft thoughtful protections for the unborn, but also to extend protections and support for women in crisis pregnancy and for newborns.
Okay, he goes on from there. The one thing when he talks about, I would have suggested this to Vice President Pence, when he's being asked about government-mandated pregnancies, basically, the government didn't create the pregnancy. And what the what most American people do oppose is government-funded termination of pregnancies. In other words, if you look at all of the polling, there is a moderate center here on the issue of human life, on the issue of abortion. And the moderate center is somewhere between the Democratic position, which right now appears to be favoring national legislation that would ban abortions at no point of pregnancy. Now, most Americans don't agree with that. Most Americans do not favor any right to abortion in the last trimester, and a very limited right to abortion, basically involving rape, murder, or the welfare of the mother, for the second trimester. And the other question is, and it's a very real question, taxpayer funding. It was a radical aspect of Hillary Clinton's campaign when she declared herself in favor of basically overriding the Hyde Amendment, which had banned federal funding for abortion. Because if you're going to have the federal government, which takes tax money from everybody, not just pro-choice people, but from everybody, when you take that kind of money away from people in taxes, using that for something that a big chunk of those taxpayers consider to be morally wrong is deeply, deeply problematic. It's one of those great things about trying to disentangle government from personal morality. That doesn't mean that people who are running the government don't have a responsibility to be personally moral. But it means that middle ground can sometimes be a necessity. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Federal help is on the way to Western New York after a major snowstorm. President Biden has approved an emergency declaration following the storm that dumped several feet of snow in the Buffalo area. Orchard Park, home to the Buffalo Bills Stadium, saw 77 inches of snow. A railroad labor union is rejecting a tentative agreement, which puts a strike once again on the table.
A national rail strike looks like it's getting closer to actually happening. SMART-TD has voted against the tentative agreement, and it's one of the largest railroad labor unions. Two unions, including the Brotherhood of Railroad Signalmen, are set to strike on December 5th, but that is subject to change. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
President Biden took part in the 75th annual turkey pardoning ceremony at the White House on Monday. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, time to move on. Do you remember the Democrats kept saying that about the ongoing investigations of Bill Clinton that were conducted by the late Ken Starr and many, many, many others with many, many foibles of the Clinton administration. And a big slogan on the Democratic side was time to move on, time to move on. And that gave rise to this very successful fundraising organization and Democratic liberal influence organization, MoveOn.org. And right now, that is the message that a lot of the potential rivals to Donald J. Trump are trying to send, Republican rivals. Now, this is a collage put together by CNN, but it's a collage of possible 2024 GOP contenders with a pretty similar message, which is, well, time to move on. Listen.
Trump was saying that we'd be winning so much we'd get tired of winning. Well, I'm sick and tired of our party losing.
The fact of the matter is the reason we're losing is because Donald Trump has put himself before everybody else.
We have to find people who are putting themselves forward, who have character, commitment, and real competence. Personality and celebrity just aren't going to get it done. We can see that.
We have to look in the mirror. The Republican Party has lost the popular vote in the last 7 out of 8 presidential elections. That's saying something.
I truly do believe to win the future,
We as Republicans and our elected leaders must do more than criticize and complain. We must unite our party around a bold, optimistic agenda that offers a clear choice and lays a lasting foundation for victory in 2024 and beyond.
Okay, that's, of course, Vice President Pence at the very end. At the beginning, the voice is not as familiar. Larry Hogan, who's the very popular two-term governor of Maryland, who was term-limited, and now Maryland has went overwhelmingly to Wes Moore, who is considered to be very much a rising star. And then it also included, I believe it was actually Governor Sununu of New Hampshire, Chris Christie, Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, and, of course, Mike Pence. The why did the Republicans lose? And this is they didn't lose everything. They won the House of Representatives, but they won with a very, very thin gain of a handful of congressional seats. And frankly, if it hadn't been for reapportionment in New York, which was done by a court to take away the very partisan Democratic reapportionment that existed before, and reapportionment in Florida, the Republicans would not have won control of the House. It's going to be ending up maybe gaining 6 seats. A lot of it depends upon what's happening in Alaska, where it does look like Senator Murkowski is going to get reelected when they are done with their ranked choice voting, and so is Mary Pertola, who is the Democrat who was elected to replace Don Young in Alaska. There's a piece that I mentioned when I was talking with Molly Ball by Jeffrey H. Anderson for City Journal. And he writes, midterm elections normally serve as referendums on incumbent presidents to whom voters seldom give the benefit of the doubt, and whose parties almost always lose substantial numbers of seats in the House of Representatives and often the Senate as well. There have only been 2 elections where the president's party actually gained seats in the House in midterm elections. And one of them for President George W. Bush, who was following up September 11th for the midterms, which, of course, it was a year from December 11th. They actually voted a year and 2 months. So, and the other one was Franklin Roosevelt. I mean, 1934, where the midterm elections continued the pattern of Democratic landslides that continued until 1938, but that's another story. It's a long time ago. So what happened, asked Jeffrey Anderson. A pair of numbers leaps out of the exit polling. 32% of voters said that they cast their House vote to oppose President Joe Biden, while 28% said they cast their House vote to oppose former President Donald Trump, which is incredible because Trump wasn't really in power, and he wasn't certainly not in office. In other words, for every 8 votes cast against Biden, all but 1 were negated by a vote against Trump. This is surely unprecedented in a midterm election. It's nearly impossible to imagine a previous midterm in which almost as many people voted against the loser of the previous presidential contest as voted against the winner. How many people, for example, bothered to vote against Richard Nixon in 1962 after he lost to Kennedy? Or Jimmy Carter in 1982 after he lost to Ronald Reagan? Or George H.W. Bush in 1994 after he lost to Clinton? Or even Hillary Clinton in 2018, so many people wanted to vote against the president, whose name was Trump at that time, that the Republicans ended up losing 40 seats. And depending on how you calculate it with special elections, it could be as many as 43 seats. They lost badly. And they lost governorships badly that year. Okay, this year is something else, and this is just breaking news today. And it's pretty amazing. When former President Donald J. Trump returned briefly last week to his office at Trump Tower in New York City, he was joined by his son, Eric Trump, and the top executives of a Saudi real estate company to sign a deal that creates new conflict of interest questions, just what he needs, for his just-launched presidential campaign. The deal is with a Saudi real estate company, which intends to build a Trump-branded hotel, villas and a golf course as part of a $4 billion real estate project in Oman, making Oman great again. The agreement continues a practice that had been popular for the Trump family businesses until Mr. Trump was elected president, selling branding rights to an overseas project in exchange for a generous licensing fee. The deal leaves Mr. Trump, as a former president, hoping to win the White House again, effectively with a foreign government partner that has complex relations with the United States, including its role in trying to end the war in Yemen and other important foreign policy agenda items for Washington. It is the second deal signed recently between Mr. Trump and his family that has direct financial ties to a Middle Eastern government. The Trump Organization also hosted the Saudi government-backed LIV golf tournaments at the family-owned golf clubs in New Jersey and Florida, the Saudi government's $620 billion public investment fund has financed the LIV golf effort, which then paid venues like Trump National Doral in Miami and Trump National Golf Course in Bedminster, New Jersey, to host two of its tournaments earlier this year. Hosting golf tournaments is one thing. And you may remember all the huge fuss that was made about Trump and the emoluments clause and the Trump Hotel, which is no longer operating, that all of that really came to nothing. But in the midst of dealing with a special counsel right now and all kinds of legal investigations, really, what is this something that the Trump family really needed right now? There's a powerful and important point made by Rich Lowry that says the GOP cannot dump Trump. Only one force can. We'll get to it. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
And there's a piece in the National Review. Actually, it appeared in the New York Post. But same guy, it's the editor of National Review, Rich Lowry, who backed President Trump enthusiastically when he ran for re-election in the campaign of 2020. And what he talks about is one of the reasons that there is such a new willingness to move on past Trumpism and President Trump himself is because he did such a poor job of selecting candidates. I mean, some of the candidates, I mean, one of them won, J.D. Vance, and he won partially because he was on a ticket with the incumbent governor, Mike DeWine, who won by 26 points. And J.D. Vance won by 5, which is fine. He did well, but so many other Trump-selected candidates, including Carrie Lake and Don Bolduc and Mehmet Oz, just tanked. Mr. Michaels in Wisconsin and Tudor Dixon in Michigan, they did very, very poorly. And part of what Rich Lowry writes, it's important, by the way, that some of the worst candidate choices in the midterms were freely made by GOP primary electorates under Trump's influence. There's been a lot of criticism of Democrats spending on weak MAGA candidates in the primaries, but these candidates never would have gotten nominated in the first place if Republican voters hadn't happily supported them, despite their flaws and despite Democrats desperately wanting to run against them. One hopes the lesson has finally been learned. That Trump, no matter how much Republicans admire his combativeness, appreciate his entertainment value, and detest his enemies, is not a sound electoral guide, to put it mildly. Trump didn't win a majority in either of his presidential elections, even the one he won. He was never anywhere close to 50% in the Real Clear Politics polling averages in either of his races. And his average job approval rating during his presidency never approached 50% either. Trump won in 2016 courtesy of Hillary Clinton, the Electoral College, and a dollop of luck. At the end of the day, he's a plurality, not a majority candidate. and he's drawn to other plurality candidates who, lacking the advantage of running in races with an electoral college or against Hillary Clinton, tend to lose. Winning 46.1% worked for Trump in 2016. But it's a formula for failure for everyone else. And what he brings out is that I think if people are talking about, well, the Republican Party moving on past Donald Trump before this election campaign even really gets started, I think that's a fantasy. Because what Rich Lowry says is the GOP can't dump Trump, but Republican voters can. And a lot of people would think should. And the idea that the way to move on past Trump is more investigations, I think it's foolish, and I think it's a mistake. That doesn't mean that somehow they consolidating the investigations with a special counsel is a bad idea. I actually think it's a good idea because it does get it a little bit further away from having that direct political association and that direct political taint. But right now, the notion that all of this is going on and is going to pay off in destroying Trump. Remember, Democrats believed that at the middle of his first term when they were going after him, as Hakeem Jeffries did. Yes, the new Democrat House leader, Congressman Jeffries, a Democrat of New York, had this to say in 2019, and it's a little bit embarrassing when you hear it now. Clip 15.
Russia interfered with our election, attacked our democracy for the sole purpose of artificially placing someone at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They were successful.
Okay, the difficulty with this is he's right. Do I believe that Russia meddled with our democracy? Sure. Do I believe that they poisoned the election? Sure, but their sole purpose wasn't installing Trump. Their sole purpose was causing division and conflict and negativity and polarization in the United States. And yes, they did succeed with that because too many people went along with it, including people very much on the left. For instance, this is a kind of message that they helped to support. Listen to Michael Eric Dyson, who is on with Al Jazeera, where he talks about what he believes colors all of our elections and all of our political movements in this country. This is clip 13.
We pay more during the surges of Trump and white nationalism. We pay in terms of political capital that's precious to us. We pay in terms of lives lost. We pay in terms of an erosion of the American spirit. We pay in the refusal to acknowledge that white supremacy is the ultimate arbiter of truth in our political scene. You know, what January 6th proved to us is that people were willing to be hypocrites, and when you told them they were hypocrites, they didn't even care.
Okay, first of all, how ridiculous this is. White supremacy is part of every political decision in this country. And what's fascinating to me about that is there was almost no one except a tiny, tiny rump minority who would justify January 6th or call it heroic or positive. But with the Black Lives Matter riots that occurred a year before, and there were terrible riots and property destruction, and there, yes, were people who died. And people defended those riots all the time. So how do you explain everything that's wrong with American politics and with American exchanges based on white supremacy? Part of what is terribly wrong here is making actions register in a very different way depending upon the race of the perpetrator. That's not a good idea. A movie that helps to show the path beyond that is actually, I'll say it now, it's one of the best movies of 2022 so far. Listen.
Yeah.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Jonathan Majors is outstanding as a groundbreaking black naval aviator at the beginning of the Korean War in the inspiring, lovingly told true story, Devotion, now playing in theaters.
The whole world's looking different.
Did you ever think that you'd be in a squadron with a colored aviator?
Lieutenant Tom Hudner.
Joseph Brown. It's good to meet you.
It must be hard being the
naval aviator.
And people who loved Top Gun Maverick, one of the biggest hits of recent months, should also be thrilled by Devotion, which provides scenes of aerial combat that are as thrilling and convincing as the surprisingly deep human interactions that convey the heart of the film. Glenn Powell, who co-stars as the main character's wingman, is so charismatic and convincing he can make you forget all about Tom Cruise. Rated PG-13 for realistic scenes of wartime heroism and sacrifice. Four stars for the unforgettable and ultimately uplifting Devotion. And it's actually opening in theaters this Wednesday, and I hope it's a huge opening. I hope it does very, very well. This film has amazing details that are just worth honoring and loving, and one of them is that it is directed and co-written by the son of a pioneering black naval aviator, where the message of the film really reminds us on the eve of Thanksgiving, and again, it's coming out Wednesday, it reminds us that we have a great deal to be thankful for, particularly in terms of the caliber of the human beings who are defending our nation at all times. Speaking of which, somebody who's defended America, a veteran prosecutor and a great patriot, Andrew McCarthy, is going to be joining us tomorrow to talk about the Trump investigations and the consolidation by the special prosecutor. Is that going to help Trump win his nomination with that sense that he is being persecuted and prosecuted? We will talk with Andy McCarthy about that. We'll also talk to Steve Laufman, who asks a question. When you look at great athletes as people who are participating in the World Cup, you might think that the human body is an engineering masterpiece. Okay, engineered for what? And by whom? We will talk about that and much more next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.